broadcast his service over Facebook, and this particular sermon is going to Facebook now. And so I want to welcome those who are looking in on Facebook. It's actually the first Facebook page this morning. And hope that others will be able to join us. So let the folks know out there in internet land that there's a service coming from the Scots Kirk here in this town. But don't you worry, you guys, you're not being filmed. So if the police are after you, we won't see you. This morning, I want to talk to you about this wonderful phrase at the very end of the Lord's Prayer. The Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now, as you know, last week I was talking about how the Archbishop of Canterbury has invited Christians from all over the world between the Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday, those 10 days, to pray Thy Kingdom Come prayers, to pray for our families and for our friends, that they might come to know Christ and come to know the living Christ through our lives. Now, what a wonderful vision Archbishop Welby has had, and literally millions of Christians around the world have taken part in the Thy Kingdom Come initiative. And the Church of Scotland has been involved in that as well. And so I'm going to be continuing this little series of sermons, inspirational sermons about the Lord's Prayer. So I don't want you to think it's an in-depth study of the Lord's Prayer, but it's just picking up ideas and thoughts to inspire us to see the importance of this. So, last week we were seeking to show and see how we can bring the kingdom of God into our lives through the way we connect with people daily. I suggested that the Lord's Prayer gives us a clue when Jesus suggested that we call God our Father. But in doing so, he was inviting us into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and into the fellowship of the Trinity. To call God Father is to become connected into the very Godhead. And I will explain later on how all this has been important for us understanding the companionship of the Trinity, the companionship of the Holy Spirit, and the companionship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How important that is for us as we seek to live out Christ. Because we are called to let the world see something of the love of God. In one of the big prayers or calls of Scripture this morning, I quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And that world is an inclusive call for everyone. And so, those of us who call God Father, we have been called and instructed to go and live like our Father, with his identity, with his love, to a world that is looking lost and lonely and desperate to find love. So when we pray, we are not coming to someone with whom we have to plead. We're coming to a Father who loves us. I wonder if you need to hear that this morning. Where are you in your life? What is it that you're worried about? What is it you're struggling with? What is it that you feel as though nobody's really caring? Sometimes you feel as though even God is far from you. God is closer to you than you can ever imagine. He is your Father. He loves you with an eternal love. And we're told in Scripture that Jesus said, look, if a loving father, if a son goes to a loving father or a daughter goes to a loving father and asks for food, will he give them something that will poison them rather than sustain them? So when you go to your Heavenly Father, he knows what you need, and he cares for you, and he loves you. And that's the message, too, we need to share with our friends and our family and those that we live with. Because when we know we are loved by God, it changes everything. You know, that's what I mentioned last week about how was Jesus able to fulfill all the things he did? It was because he was affirmed by God, you are my beloved Son. In whom I am well pleased. And you know, this is our birthday, the church. Look at us. What a ragbag of people we are. Look at us. Some of us we don't know one another, yet we do know one another because we're called into the family. family of God. And Father makes us family and draws us into that family. So we're all different. But what unites us is the love that the Father has for us. And that in turn inspires us to love the Father and to love one another. So this week, we go to the very end of the Lord's Prayer and we pick up the doxology that sums up all that is good within the Christian's mindset towards God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For all that we have, all that we ever will be, and all that we ever can be, all the goodness, all the achievements, it is for your glory, not for mine. And that's why that's such an important doxology to hold on to, because it reflects something of the issue that's spoken of in the Genesis reading, the Tower of Babel. You see, what was happening with the Tower of Babel was humanity was seeking to usurp himself above God, to take the glory and take the power and the glory and be as God. In the same way as the serpent came to Adam and said, if you do this, you know what to mean, you know the knowledge of good and evil. And so it's as though God sends confusion amongst it, and the story is that that's how we put different languages. But Pentecost is now about God coming to reunite us, to harmonize us, to give us one language we understand about his love. And so Pentecost is Babel reversed, and that we might see something of the glory and the power of God. Thus we pray, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, in opposition and in contrast to all that was going on in the Genesis reading. You see, we've just got to be careful. In the midst of all the good things we receive, the gifts that we have from God, the achievements that happen in our lives, that we give God the glory. And we don't seek to steal that glory. And that's the danger with modern man. When we look at our achievements and we say, we don't grow God. We don't need God. We've got everything we need. But yet, we haven't. Because we don't know how to get on with our neighbours. We don't know how to love our children the way we should. We don't know how to understand the differences that are in the world. We've got so much to learn. And so we need to continually pray that prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. How do you do this? If you go to John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says this: anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And then he continues to remind them that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, to companion them, to walk with them in their times of difficulty and struggle when he is gone. And he says, I will not, in verse 18 of John chapter 14, I will not leave you orphans. And then he goes on in chapter 20, verse 20, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me. And in verse 23, my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. So what we've been taught here in this passage is that the Father and the Son are going to make a home in our lives. That's an amazing idea. God abiding with us, living with us, walking with us, talking with us. It changes everything. And it changes the way we understand ourselves. Pentecost tells us that heaven has come on us. to stop arguments in the conversation. This is the company of having sorry, John, you're too argumentative, you need to go out and come back in. Because this is heaven. This is where we are piloting what heaven's all about. Isn't that challenging? Well, this is the sacred chain. Do you know my favourite paraphrase? You know that paraphrase? The Saviour died and rose again. Triumphant from the grave, do you know that? The gates are carried at God's right hand and everything to save. Who then can ever divide us more from Jesus and his love? Or break the sacred cord that binds the earth to heaven? The General Assembly this year in Edinburgh, one of our resident artists that the Church of Scotland has employed, and our Minister of the Arts, and Peter, who was with you, Peter made this wonderful cord that streamed right up into the stairwell of one of the entrances to the Assembly Hall, this wonderful cord leading up to the skyline. And every day, a group of people would join and sing that paraphrase and break the sacred cord that binds the earth to heaven above. Amazing and wonderful. We are now connected to heaven, and we are called to be people that live this way. So the first three phrases of the Lord's Prayer directs us to focus on the Father, who will do what it takes to reconcile a broken world, even means himself coming to us in Christ, in the midst of our brokenness and our squalor and our sadness, and our pain and our sinfulness, comes to rescue us. And he becomes our brokenness. And that's what, when we take communion this morning, that's what that's about. He enters into our brokenness. He stands with us. That's what Holy God does. That's what holiness is all about. A God who comes into the muck and the dirt and the mess. This is not a holy God who's so separate from us that he can't touch us. Completely different from an idol we sometimes see in the Old Testament. But this is the Holy God who comes up to us and makes us holy. Isn't that quite amazing? Quite amazing. The kingdom belongs to the Father, who is known through the Son and experienced by the revealing power of the Holy Spirit. How do we know all this? Because the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And as the Spirit of God works in our lives, he reveals Jesus to us. And as we see Jesus reveals the Father to us. And our lives are changed. And then we go out into the world and we live that same way. The world look at us and they see something of Jesus in us. And as Jesus is revealed to them, they see the Father. And that's all the work of the Holy Spirit, drawing us into one another. Was it not Philip that said, "Show us the Father"? And Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." So the invitation is for you and me to begin to live our lives in such a way that others will see the Father. This doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer is said to remind us that we don't build our personal kingdoms. This is the kingdom of God, for his is the power and the glory. And all of this has a significance for us. If we are to be imitators of Christ, then our lives have to be such that we reflect the glory of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does all the time. The Spirit of God never draws attention to himself. He's always pointing to Jesus. And Jesus is always pointing to the Father. And the Father is looking around and saying, "There's another beloved Son in my world, please." And you see, that spills all my community. And if ever there's a reason, and for those who follow the Sanctuary First website and struggle to find a place to have spiritual home. If ever there's a reason to find a spiritual home, it's this. That as we come into the fellowship of God's people, we encounter the glory of God through us. Because Christ is living in us. Christ is living in the community of God's people. And we can see one another, and we can see something of the love and the beauty of Christ in our lives. I think this is the most powerful argument that we can ever find to sustain worshiping communities in person, not just simply on the internet, although I think it's so important that people do use the internet, but this coming together as little groups of people worshiping and encountering the greatness of God. It was why the disciples gathered together in community that the Holy Spirit broke into their lives. Do you know, in the Orthodox Church, when the scripture is being read, they say it's very important to read it out loud in public, because when the scripture is read in public, in the community of God's people, it takes on a new meaning. Some of them within our Reformed tradition, we have ended up interpreting the scripture as individuals, reading the Bible on our own, and we don't even read it out loud, we read it in our head. But there's something more powerful in God's, in the presence of God's people, to hear the scripture spoken out loud, and for that to be a word for the whole community. It changes how we understand God's word. So can I urge you all this morning to value one another, to recognize the Lord Jesus in one another, and to say happy birthday to one another this morning. To recognize the Christ in each other. And you know, if there's someone that you're not getting on well with in the church, would you sort it? Would you do it, sort it? Find a way to build a bridge in order that you can begin to see Christ in their daily life too. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke to those who were listening, and he told them that what was happening was all to do with a prophecy that happened in Joel. And the prophecy was that your old men would dream dreams and your young men would have visions, and something wonderful was happening. And Peter made that light for them so that they could understand what was happening. I want to suggest each one of us be a Peter in the place where we live, the place where we work, the place where we move. Can I ask you a question this morning? What is it that God has done in your life that is so important now that you need to share with those you work with? What is it that God has done in your life that you need to look through your appointment diaries and say, why have I got an appointment with this? Why has God linked me into this person? What is this all about? Is God got a deeper meaning and a deeper purpose within some of these encounters that I'm having with people? And what about my neighbours? Am I not meant to be showing the glory of God too? Are they not seeing that in my daily life? And then, what about the circle of friends? You are the connectors. We are the connectors that are bringing Christ into these areas. And then your back partners. I think you've got that right balance. I think it's for you. I think we do think it. But would you lift your bright eyes up and say, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory? Do you know, if more of us would lift our bright balances up like that, there'd be much, much more work done around the church. And the church wouldn't be carrying poverty. Because I used to say to the folks in my congregation, it's great, we've got all the money to do this. The only trouble is the money's in your bank accounts. But we can solve this problem with easy bank transfers in the next few weeks, and we can get all the money we need just to make a few transfers. You see, where your heart is, there is your relationship. And what about your home? Your greatest gift. Are you not using your home? Why are you hiding it away, making it your sacred retreat? Why did God give you that house with the rooms of God? For His glory. Why has God made you a wanderer at the moment? not what we have, but it's where we're going to be for His glory that counts. And then we could go on the car, their employment, their children, their achievements, and then your failures, what they're doing. What about your hurts? And then the sins, the things that you get wrong all the time, and yourself. So lift all these things up to God and say, mine is the kingdom.